Hello, I'm going to do a solo podcast, a one-off thing right here that where I'm going to go through the events that have taken part of the New York Jets for the last 5 or 4 years, I don't remember how long it's been, of Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan, their reign on New York Jets, two handsome, perfect gentlemen that have just been virtuosos in the field of football science. They are everything we could ever hope for, and I'm going to go through all the reasons why they should not be fired. All right, let's get into Mike Maccagnan's drafting. I know a lot of people really hate him because of his coffee drinking and such, but most Jets fans, I know you guys are really into tea, but you're going to have to get over it. It's kind of a stressful job that he has, so the coffee is a bit necessary, and that kind of stress really leads to this bad decision-making from time to time. It's a hard job, it's high pressure. It's not unlike being a police officer. You guys are just going to have to accept that they're going to make mistakes sometime, Maybe sometimes they'll shoot a person. Maybe sometimes they'll pick a bad quarterback in the second round. That's just how it goes. But when you have to look at his drafts, from what actually happened, you're looking at a person who's not completely aware of what's going on in the modern NFL. You have three straight first round picks that are just run oriented players in drafts where he didn't have to pick them. Interior defensive lineman Leonard Williams, off-ball linebacker Darren Lee, strong safety/versatile safety Jamal Adams. These were not particularly players that are, I would say, that are really important in the NFL right now. You're not going to have a safety-driven league. You're not having an off-ball-driven league. You're not having a interior lineman-driven league. Even if you were to get Aaron Donald out of the Leonard Williams pick, Aaron Donald's not worth that many wins himself to the Rams franchise. That's actually proven by how bad they were before they had Jared Goff playing well. The main problem that he's had is that he's not cognizant of what exactly are the limits of a scout's evaluation abilities. If you are a scout, I don't know if this is what they think, but it seems like it's the belief that you can somehow tell the future. I'm going to make it clear that no, being a football scout does not give you superhuman powers that are akin to the abilities of Doctor Strange. You are just a human being who is able to watch a football game and have an opinion on it. It's not that special of a fucking job. So believing that you can somehow tell exactly what's going to happen in the future for a player's career is a joke. The only thing you can tell is whether or not the player right now looks pretty good. Leonard Williams' case, yeah, he looked decent, but if his decentness was nowhere near the dominance level of an Aaron Donald like type player. And if you're going to look at him, you're going to try to project him towards the future, and you're going to assume, oh, he's going to become also the best or second best player in the NFL at his position. Of course, it's not going to happen. You're an idiot. That's completely unrealistic. You're going to assume at best that they're just going to be a successful pick that's going to hit the upper echelon that you're expecting, which might be the top 10 of their position. So what does the average player in the top 10 look like for that position? It's Muhammad Wilkerson. It was Sheldon Richardson, who were not game-changing players. If they were thinking more along that line, they would have probably had better decision-making, like such with Darren Lee, who is, I mean, the 2016 draft, just an egregious first two picks where two players who were both not good in college, one of which wasn't even a full-time player, the other one was actually just bad. And just making those type of horrific decisions. And I'm not going to focus too much on like the result-oriented process of like, oh, I picked the player and it didn't work out and that makes him a bad scout. Because no, once again, they don't know the future. So it's not really realistic for them to understand whether or not a player is going to be good or bad. But there are certain type parts of your evaluation that show your process of decision-making and what things you do pay attention to and don't pay attention to. And those parts are easy to figure out and easy to call them out for. For example, I don't know what the fuck Mike Maccagnan's obsession is with an older player, but that is not how you make good picks in the NFL. Older players are not good. Older players are older for a reason. There's a reason why it took longer for them to get onto the field in college. There's a reason why they took longer for them to come out and play and become NFL caliber prospects. There's a reason why they are now in the fifth or sixth round or fourth or third or fifth or whatever round, and they're not in the first, and they are an older prospect. There's a reason for this. There's a reason why Kevin White is bad. It's because he was 24 when he was drafted. There's a reason why Kelvin Benjamin is bad. It's because he was 25 or something when he was drafted. Being old is not a good thing in the draft. Being old is maybe good when you're like, actually, there's never a point where being old is good. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. Being old is just bad in the NFL. There's no reason why some of these picks have ever happened. Ardarius Stewart, just a ridiculously bad pick for its situation for the draft. Dylan Donahue, many other players that are just hard to fathom on like why they would ever be picked. Sherrone Peake, even, I would argue, I know he's become pretty good special teams players, but not really a special team gunner driven league as far as I know. Bryce Petty, another just horrific pick on a line of bad picks. And these are not even because of their results, but more so because the process for making these decisions just doesn't make sense. In the last draft, I'm not going to go too much into it. Most of the picks were gone because of the Sam Darnold trade, which is the only good pick of the Mike Maccagnan era, I'd argue. The only one that really stands out is like, yep, that was the right pick to make. Good job. There are a couple of like random shots that he's taken that have been pretty decent, like Jeremy Clark and Brandon Shell, as well as even Jarvis Harrison. Shell's the only one that's worked out so far, but they are pretty decent picks to make on their own, just their own successes, their own accolades, I guess. And it would be like, if you had a good process, then over time, eventually the process would, if you just had bad results, say a great process, bad results, eventually over time, like it would even out. You'd have a regression, you would have the successes that you should have had originally. But his process is so bad that there's almost no reason to assume he'll ever have real success. The biggest problem is, even though he's arguably hit with Jamal Adams and Leonard Williams and even Marcus May and possibly some other players, none of them really play the all-important positions that make up a Super Bowl-caliber NFL team, like wide receiver, like cornerback, like edge rusher. So he is now being forced to use all the cap on outside players on those positions because we don't have any of them that we've drafted that are good, and we have made particularly bad decisions when we do draft them. We've always chosen players who aren't like they aren't the template for success. So now we're just picking up players over and over again that are, they're below average, they're below the standard. And we're going to be forced to actually use a lot of cap space on these free agents who are going to be asking for a lot of money. We're going to hope that they're actually good. We're going to hope that they're actually worthwhile, such as players like Tremaine Johnson, who by every single standard before the season started was just the average to maybe sometimes above average corner, not a top 12, not even probably a top 20 corner in the league. When I talk about average, I mean out of like the 100 corners that play, he was just the guy almost who just had a good streak of interceptions at some point in his career. And now we're seeing the results of having to play the game this way. You have to take these risks on Morris Claiborne and Tremaine Johnson, and neither of them are very good. And you're screwed. You're back to square one. You have to once again find a cornerback. You've just spent all your free agency money, all your fucking Chuck E. Cheese big bucks on these fucking players, and none of them have actually amounted to shit. So what are you going to actually do in these situations? What is your plan for the future? For Mike Maccagnan, it's going to be to probably draft a inside linebacker in the first round, so that way he doesn't have to pay Darren Lee next year, and throw the Jets into a bigger hole every single year they're not going to be able to climb out of. To make matters worse, his overall free agency plans have not been really good. He has made some good low-cost decisions, like taking chances on some players that aren't exactly bad, but over like the whole tenure that he's had, can you really point out like to a free agent that he's picked up that's been game-changing or even valuable for the Jets? The answer is kind of no. Like, the only one is from his first season where he picked up James Carpenter. Beyond that, it's just been a completely forgettable choice time and time again. It doesn't seem like Maccagnan has a great pulse on who the sleepers in the NFL are, who the low-cost, high-end players are, who are even the right players to draft are. What is the NFL trending towards? It seems like he's almost certain the NFL is an Alvin Kamara, Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon-driven league, when it's definitely not. I mean, it's not. I don't know if you're going to argue, someone's going to argue me that it is, but if you are, you're wrong and you're stupid and it's not. So let's get to Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles has a different set of issues. And I'm not going to go through the most specific issues that he's gone through, not like a specific fourth down punt or something, but just the overall problems. And we had to go through McCagden first because you can't independently assess Todd Bowles without recognizing that he is being dealt a pretty bad hand by McCagden. But the independent decisions that we are able to look at from Todd Bowles, independently of McCagden's bad team building, are something we can evaluate. So going through like the first most obvious one is his inability to be aggressive. He is a fourth down punter. He is not going to ever be aggressive. He is unaware that the losing team, the team that the underdog has to play up to the level of his opponent, has to be more aggressive, has to be more, you know, willing to take risks. That is not Todd Bowles' nature to recognize that. And he seems to have completely misevaluated where the Jets are upon the NFL's totem pole in this form. Another part that he's failed on over and over again is actually dealing with the underperforming players on the field. Darrelle Revis, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tremaine Johnson, Spencer Long. We are seeing it time and time again where players are playing some of the worst in the NFL. I mean, and they're getting more time. They're just getting to stay out there and play worse and worse and worse and worse. This is not intelligent play. This is not what a good coach should be doing, to just stick with players who aren't young. They're older guys. They are players that should have been assumed to be at least be consistent, to be able to hold a level of consistency, and now they're not even able to perform, and you're just keeping them out there for what reason? For what fucking reason are they still out there for? Bowles is incapable of evaluating his team at that level. And then there are some obvious egregious decisions. And decisions that are obvious to me egregious. Maybe that's all fans, but I don't give a shit about all fans because every Jets fan is a moron. And I will tell you for sure that the decision to play Ryan Fitzpatrick over Geno Smith in the first 2015 season at the bye, when the Jets were 3-1 and Ryan Fitzpatrick had played extraordinarily poorly through four games. I think he had 7 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, a sub-60% completion percentage, a sub-7 yards per attempt, just a bad player, to just keep him on the field, even when your young quarterback, who at least had the potential to maybe be your future, at least had the potential to maybe put up something that's promising with this new team that you all knew, that they all evaluated and correctly evaluated, was really bad before they got there with the Reddick Schwein error, with the lack of coaching, with the lack of receivers, you know, such and such. They knew this, and then they still were like, no, you know what, this Ryan Fitzpatrick guy, we're gonna keep playing him. At least the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, although they went back to Fitzpatrick as soon as they could bring Jameis in, as soon as they could, even though Jameis had been underwhelming for the last 2 years of their play, not as underwhelming as Geno Smith had been, but underwhelming, and even though Ryan Fitzpatrick had been extraordinary through those games, as soon as he had his one bad game, they were quick to pull the plug. They took him out. The Jets would not do that. Todd Bowles would never do that. He was going to stick with Ryan Fitzpatrick no matter what. Against all logic, he was going to stick with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and there was no good reason to do so, because there was nothing to gain from it, especially at the turning point that he had to make that switch. And I'm going to argue about that forever and ever and ever without giving a shit what anyone thinks about Geno Smith, because there's absolutely no reason why a bad quarterback who is 32 years old should be the guy that you are starting over the young quarterback that you may have a future in, and when you have a great team around him. Todd Bowles' decision-making in these different places have just been so bad and so abhorrent. It's hard to imagine that even with a better roster, he would do better than just mediocrely, than just become essentially Mike McCarthy, who, as everyone watched on Thursday night, blew out a great opportunity to maybe take a win from the Seahawks, and who's wasted one of the Hall of Fame best quarterbacks of all time's career by just being an unaggressive, uninspiring coach. That is what it seems like the peak for Todd Bowles is, because Bowles has shown nothing in the way of being intuitive as a coach, nothing in the way of being inventive, nothing in the way of being aggressive. There is nothing about his coaching that has been inspiring in any facet of what you would imagine a good coach would be. Even looking at his past, it's hard to say that he was special. I've made a post about it before on TOJ that Bowles, before he got the head coaching job, was in Arizona, and Arizona's defense, both before Bowles got there and after Bowles got left, was good both times. So it's even hard to argue that Bowles was the reason why Arizona's defense was really good, even if the players really like him. Because I have heard a lot of players make comments that they love Bowles. Really don't give a shit. You don't get points on the board for how much you love your coach. That's not a, I don't think that's what football scores, but I'm not really sure. I've never really watched football, so I don't really know what they score. The point being, there's nothing really there with Todd Bowles to like, even through the Maccagnan failures. So with all that said, you have the same issue going from Todd Bowles to Mike Maccagnan. They are two people who are overconfident in their abilities as decision makers. Mike Maccagnan thinks that he can tell what a player's future is going to be. He thinks he can tell what the best way to maximize these picks is going to be, when any person understanding what the draft is would say it's just a random lottery. Take as many picks as you can, just throw them all on the board, see what you get. He doesn't seem to understand that, and Todd Bowles seems to be overconfident in his evaluation of his team and what exactly they're doing, how well they can play, how good the players individually are. When a player's playing poorly, he thinks that his confidence in them is going to suddenly make them turn good again. It's not realistic. These are two people who are, they're playing football in their own minds and not on the actual field. They are entirely working within the framework of what's in their head and not what's actually happening in front of them. I would absolutely just argue that these two guys should stay forever, because really they've made a great case that they perfectly exemplify what the normal Jets fan brain thinks. Anyway, that's been my whole podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed. I'm never doing one of these again.